Bam! Right back here, hour three. It's going to be a great one. Nice to have you here. I'm in the jungle. Program today brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Having a good time? AJ Hinch coming up in about 15 minutes. That's always a good interview. So I'm looking forward to that. 1-800-636-8686. Orion going with some performance art or something. At the end of hour number two, bunch of different impressions. That's like Orion's deal now. It worked until it didn't. But this is what you're going to get in Smack-Off season. Guys trying to get noticed, trying to get golden tickets, trying to play their way in. I like it. I respect it. I'm trying to make that happen. We've never had a female win the Smack-Off. We've had females in the Smack-Off, but we've never had a female win the Smack-Off. I would love that. That'd be the best thing ever, honestly. 1-800-636-8686. And you know, follow me on Twitter. If you're speaking of Twitter, you may have seen that I posted a picture of the new jungle colt. We had a baby this morning. So the baby weighed 143 pounds. It's a good size colt, actually. And the baby, really quickly, the sire or stallion, father, I'm going to speak in lay terms, is Straight Fire. Remember Straight Fire? Straight Fire was a colt that we named. We own Straight Fire in a partnership, and Jamie Roth and I got together on that one. And I said, Jamie is one of the owners of the Kentucky Derby winner, by the way. So Jamie has lots of horses. She has babies, she has colts, she has fillies. She's got a lot of horses, and she's really good at naming horses. And Jamie Roth is an enormous sports fan, huge sports fan. And I said, I got an idea. I've got a name that I want to save for a good horse, but we should name the horse Straight Fire. She's like, I love that. Let's do that. So we named the colt Straight Fire. Straight Fire was the horse that won at Del Mar by 10 lengths, and we actually had Derby hopes for him, and he got hurt. So he's now a stallion. We're trying to make him a stallion. He is a stallion for his first season, or now the first round of babies here in California. So one of our jungle mares, Gidget Girl, was bred to Straight Fire. And that's that baby. So why do I mention that? Now we have three babies. Actually, not babies, but we have a two-year-old, we have a yearling, which means 1 year, and the baby. None of them officially have names. You don't have to name a horse until the horse runs. So none of them have run. So we have one filly, female, and now two colts. Now we have three horses to name. Clones can have some fun with that if you want, but you have to do better than Bisp and all the other tired things that you try to bring to me. So that is a new jungle colt. Go to Twitter and you see what the baby looks like. Meantime, game seven, right? You've got two NBA playoff games last night that were decided by an average of 31 points. Lord Stanley, luckily, had something entirely different dialed up. Game seven, the Stanley Cup playoffs, Stars, Blues. A series that was so evenly matched, the three periods of game seven hockey still were not enough. We needed overtime. Hell, we needed double overtime. Let's be real about this. This series might not have had the buzz of some of the others, but it did have the drama. Heading into Game 7, this one was not just knotted three games. It was knotted at 16 goals apiece. Big D and the Lou traded wins in St. Louis in Games 1 and 2. Then they traded wins in Dallas in Games 3 and 4. The Stars went into the Blues' house and won Game 5. The Blues went into the Stars' house and won Game 6. So it's set up beautifully for an absolutely epic Game 7. And for a minute, it looked like we were going to get a high-voltage Game 7. Both teams come out of the gates flying. Both had early point-blank chances. Then it was the Lou that drew first blood.
To the blue line, Pietrangelo over to Dunn. Quick shot and a wrister, they score! With Maroon in front, the shot from Dunn. And the St. Louis Blues score first in Game 7.
You know what that was? That was like a wickedly talented wrister from the blue line by Vince Dunn. Somehow weaved its way through a couple of bodies into the back of the net. The barn is rocking. St. Louis was rolling. until the Stars answered less than 2.5 minutes later.
It worked by Dickinson, kept it away from O'Reilly. Zuccarello fed to Klingberg, a one-timer, and that one misfired. Went wide of the net. Binnington scrambling without a stick. The Stars steal and score! Zuccarello!
I mean, damn, how freaky, how fluky was that goal? It's not how, it's how many, right? 1 minute, the Blues have a breakaway, nearly make it 2-0. Then like 30 seconds later, the puck bounces off a ref's skate. A Blues defenseman wipes out the goalie stick. Game 7's tied at a goal apiece. And then one more thing. How the hell is Ben Bishop doing what he's been doing? And how the hell do you beat that guy? 1-1 stayed 1-1, even though the Blues outshot Dallas 17-1 in the second period. Even though St. Louis more than doubled up the Stars in shots by the end of regulation, still tied up at a goal apiece. Even though St. Louis fired bullet after bullet at the brick wall behind the pipes for Big D, and the Bish never blinked. This is the same dude who took a slap shot right off his collarbone in the third period of Game 6. When that puck hit him, it looked like he was out. Like he was not getting back up. Like he just died right there on the ice. And then last night, he looked like Neo from The Matrix, turning back wave after wave from the Blues, never once blinking.
Keanu Reeves is lucky.
St. Louis tipped the freaking ice. They were dominating play. And the way Bishop was playing, it felt like it was only a matter of time before Dallas was getting a chance to steal that game. How many times have you seen that? A goaltender on his head, stopping everything, and then his team finally gets one opportunity, and they cash it in. And that's how it looked like it was going to go until the big rig lit the lamp. 5 minutes and 50 seconds into double overtime. The fifth period of the night, nearly 90 minutes of nonstop action. Bishop was 52 saves into his historic evening when Patty Maroon, the big rig, finally had enough. It was time to send everybody home.
Blues have the puck. Thomas off the wall. Shoots, and it's in. It's they good. Score! It's the St. Louisan. Pat Maroon. Bring out the Zamboni. Pat Maroon just put the city on his shoulders, and he sends him to the conference finals. A 2-1 win. In double overtime over the Dallas Stars.
19-year-old rookie Robert Thomas did the dangling, and the big rig did the cleanup work. Listen, Ben Bishop definitely did not deserve to lose, but the Blues definitely deserved to win. No NHL team had ever lost a Game 7 in OT when they had 50-plus shots on goal. In the last 24 years, they were not about to change that trend. The Stars had their chances in OT. The Stars know he stole that game twice in OT, but Jordan Binnington came up big. And then the big rig did his thing, and the Lou is on to the Final Four. Game 7, double OT. One hometown hero finally gets a puck past another hometown hero. Hopefully somebody got that guy a bucket of Bud Diesel for his efforts, because the Blues earned that one the hard way. And they advance. And further evidence that the NHL postseason is the best postseason. Game 7, double OT. How can you argue that point? You can't. You just can't. 1-800-636-8686. Adam Hawk, is there anybody here worth taking? He said no, so if you're on hold, don't take any offense to that. If you're on hold, he's talking to you. The idea of free beer sounds pretty good, right? One golfer has a chance to get an entire city free beer. That is a lot of pressure. AJ Hinch is coming up momentarily. So 1 week from tomorrow, golf's second major gets underway at Bethpage Black in New York. And no, it's not the U.S. Open, which typically follows the Masters. This year, the PGA Championship has slid all the way up from the back of the rotation into the two-hole. And the defending champ, Brooks Koepka, is already in town. Literally firing off rocks into the Hudson. If the two best words in sports are Game 7, then the best two words in life are free beer. And yesterday, as part of a promotion for Michelob Ultra, Brooks Koepka teed it up on Governor's Island and took dead aim at a floating green and a flagstick on the Hudson River from 130 out. Not exactly number 12 at Augusta, where Koepka rinsed one and lost out on the green jacket by a stroke, but the stakes were still pretty high. In fact, almost as high. Fire a wedge into the fan, hit the island green, the entire city of New York gets free Mick Ultra. It's a lot of pressure. Koepka's not afraid, man. This guy's not afraid of anything, because that's exactly what he did.
You're used to hitting in front of people, and there's a lot of consequence, but this time you're just trying to help people out with some beer. I think that's it's pretty cool, it's special, it's unique, and I enjoyed it, and luckily I was able to hit the bar.
Typical Brooks, man. Flatline. Didn't feel the pressure at all. I thought he put it great. There's a lot of consequence. You don't want to piss off all of New York. The city of Cleveland had to wait 3 weeks to use a bolt cutter on those coolers of Bud Light, remember? The city of New York had to wait 3 shots because that's all it took for Brooks to deliver the greatest landing on the Hudson since Sully heroically put that steel bird down without incident. Now, next Thursday, during the opening round of the PGA Championship, the entire city of New York can head to participating bars and get a free Mick Ultra, and it's on the defending champ.
Like beer, beer. It tastes mighty fine.
That would have been the best news heading into this season's second major. If a report didn't just drop that the Wild Thing, Long John Daly, is going to tee it up high and let it fly at Bethpage in 8 days. Hell freaking yes. JD has been suffering from a bum knee for a while now. He can no longer really walk 18, but the tour just granted him use of a golf cart for the PGA Championship. And now my man will be on Long Island, gripping it and ripping it and cruising around in a rig, sucking down heaters and hopefully burying some putts that get him to Saturday. Remember, JD won the PGA back in 91. He's got that lifetime exemption, but he's been cut the last 5 times that he's shown up for the event. At least we're guaranteed 2 days of the most electric man in golf with the best pre-round routine in the history of that game.
I want to know how you prepare for a golf tournament.
Hit balls maybe 20 minutes, putt a little bit, smoke 4 or 5 cigarettes, drink 3 Diet Cokes, and go to the first tee. Some days I won't even go to the range.
I hear that.
I had JD once on set for JRIB. Man, he was awesome. Loved him. We had so much fun. He treated everybody great. We all loved seeing him. He lived up to the hype. Like, I'm not going to say that golf needs John Daly, because golf doesn't really, but I do. I hope to hell he makes it to the weekend and somehow factors in, somehow can get himself into contention. It would be awesome. At the very least, he can get a free Mick Ultra thanks to Brooks Koepka. So expect that cup holder in his golf cart to be put to good use. I don't want to backseat produce a major, but somebody's got to put a GoPro on the steering wheel of Daly's whip. Shots of this guy rolling around, lighting one cig off another, will be 10 times more entertaining than that farce that was El Gato and El Gordo on pay-per-view last Thanksgiving. H.A. Hinch coming up next. Mother's Day is coming up this weekend. Absolutely nothing that most of us would not do for the most important people in our lives, right? Our mom, the mom of your kids, all the moms. You have to come up big. The biggest thing that you can do that I know of is to hit her with some Shari's Berries. Literally every mom. Shari's Berries is one of my favorite products ever. I bought them and gave them away as gifts long before they came on this program. So I was thrilled when I found out they were going to be here. Shari's Berries has special Mother's Day berries. They're designed just for mom. They're topped with chocolate chips, pink shimmer sugar and swizzles. You choose your delivery date, and then mom gets your gift of Shari's Berries exactly when you want her to. I'm telling you, you have never seen strawberries like Shari's Berries. Your satisfaction is always guaranteed. Do not wait until the last minute. Visit berries.com. Order freshly dipped strawberries starting at $19.99. And to make mom really happy, you can double the berries for $10 more. Mother's Day is Sunday, May 12th. Visit berries.com, berries.com. Hit the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Enter my code name, Rome, berries.com. Click the microphone, code name, Rome. Once again, berries.com. Click the mic, code Rome.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
No way I keep this man waiting. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. We are joined by the manager of the Houston Astros. Led the Astros to their first World Series title in 2017. Led Houston to back-to-back 100-plus win seasons. A franchise record 103 wins in the regular season last year. A two-time Pac-10 Player of the Year at Stanford. A member of the Stanford Athletics Hall of Fame. I consider him a good friend of the program. A.J. Hinch joins us once again. A.J., good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. How are you doing?
Good, good. Skip, good to talk to you. So you dropped a tough one to Kansas City last night, and AJ said afterwards, quote, those games hurt today because nobody likes to get their teeth kicked in. They hurt furthermore because it cuts into your pen, end quote. It'll happen, but how do you try to bounce back tonight?
Yeah, you know, I think you just wash it away. I think sometimes those are easier mentally. You know, you get your brains beat in, you get to the next day, and you just kind of cleanse yourself. Enjoy your day, get to the game, and forget it ever happened. The one-run loss probably would have been worse, but they took it to us. Two grand slams in one day. We usually like doing that to other teams. We don't like it when they do it to us. So the boys will show up. We've got a good game plan tonight. We got a chance to win a home series. And the Rockets are playing the Golden State Warriors tonight. We want a fast game so we can watch it, and then we will we'll get back to the winning ways.
AJ Hinch joining us. So what do you make of that series? How do you think your Rockets show up tonight?
I think they show up, man. They know they kind of rise to the occasion all the time. So I we're pretty tight with the Rockets. Our guys go to a lot of the games. Jim Crane, our owner, has some seats right on the floor, so he hooks us up with some front row seats. We haven't been good at making the first charity shot. I told the boys in spring training, like, Reddick made it, Correa made it, but McCullers no, Altuve no, Crane no, Springer no. So good thing they're better shooters than my guys.
Right. A.J. Hinch joining us. You mentioned Correa. He went hitless last night, which ended his 16-game hitting streak, though. You know, he went through that tough season last year, both in terms of injuries and production. He's come back really strong. As you've watched him so far this year, A.J., how close is he to the old Carlos Correa?
Very, very close, and if not better. You know, his game is really good. His preparation is good. I think he's taken these early injuries in his career very seriously. So his rehab program, he's got a good regimen that he's on. He's in a good place mentally. He's got a chip on his shoulder about his defense. And so we've made him have seen him make some highlight reel plays. He's an all-around talent. He just hangs out in the middle of our order, and a lot of attention has been on him since the day he got here. And he's a big time player, and his offense this season has been really good. Obviously, it's a tough streak to come to an end last night. He goes 0-for. It was a good run. He can put together another good one. But the hit to all field, the power, the vibe that he's carrying, the way he's carrying himself on the field, all very good Carlos Correa signs that he's going to have a good season.
A.J. Hinch, manager of the Astros, joining us. I'm going to try and double back to the point about the defense in a minute. But when you and I spoke in spring training, we talked about the attitude in your clubhouse and Alex Bregman saying that everybody felt like they were punched in the mouth last season. Nearly a quarter of the way through this season, how has that attitude been showing up on a daily basis? Do you see it?
Yeah, it's been good. You know, we're in first place, no complaints. We've won a lot of series. There's a few games that we've given away that we probably could have played better, and I like that 6-7 games over 500 is not good enough. We feel like we're operating at a decent level, but not 100% yet, and the guys expect to win. So I don't worry about our prep. I don't worry about the vibe or the culture that we have. Bregman is certainly the edge that we have in our clubhouse. That's been good to see. I mean, he's hitting, I think, over 300, had a couple homers, and he called himself out and said, I'm the softest 300 hitter in baseball. So there's like a good level of hunger in our clubhouse, and our guys are posting every day. So, it's May. You know, we start to get closer to Memorial Day. That's when people start labeling, you know, kind of where everybody's at. But our standards are super high, man, and the guys come to the field expecting to win, and we're doing enough of it.
That's a great line about Bregman. Now, I'm the softest 300 guy there is. That sounds exactly like Bregman. You know, and then you mentioned the defense, AJ, the team is playing. One of the guys who is making big-time defensive plays, big-time defensive player, of course, Jose Altuve, he might not be swinging the bat the way he'd like, at least at this moment, but what's it say about him that he still finds ways to contribute and keeps coming up with huge defensive plays, even if he's not swinging that hot bat yet?
Yeah, and it's important because so much of his identity is built around the offense. I mean, he's got the 200-hit season, he's got the batting titles, he's the All-Star. Everything is about Altuve's at bats, and I get asked all the time. You know, he goes 0-for-4. What's wrong with him? He goes a couple games and he doesn't do damage. What's wrong with him? But he brings so much more to the team. And the other night was a perfect example. He is scuffling at the plate, frustrated, not getting him as many hits as he needs to. He's still drawing a few walks. He's being productive. I'm not moving him out of the two hole. This is one of our guys. And you know, he's grounded into a couple double plays. He's just doing some uncharacteristic things at the plate, but yet we don't win the game the other night against Kansas City without his two plays at second base where he bare hands and throws to first base on these slow rollers. They got these fast dudes at Mondesi and Hamilton and Merrifield that the Royals can throw out there. And so I texted him after the game. I'm like, we don't win without your defense. And it's probably the first time I've talked to him about his defense, you know, over his offense in my 5 years with him. And he needs to be reminded that the gold glove that he won back in 2015 is real. The thing he can bring to the field every day, even if he's not hitting, is this energy and this defense, and it's showing up for us.
AJ Hinch joining us. I like that a lot. Now, Michael Brantley has flashed some leather of late. He's second in the AL in batting. AJ, I've got to think that you were pumped when he signed, but what has he shown you so far as a player and a guy in that clubhouse?
He's a perfect sign player for us in free agent this offseason. Jeff Luhnow, front office, asked what we wanted. We wanted some balance in our lineup. We got these big-time right-handed hitters. We want a lefty. Michael Brantley's out there. We're going to play him in left field. And it's funny, I tell you, it's like things that go on behind the scenes you don't know about. Is a couple weeks ago, I went to him and I said, hey, I'm gonna defensive replace for you. I got Jake Mariznick, you know, Gold Glove power center fielder who can come in late in defense. I moved Josh Reddick to left field, George Springer to right field. It's my best outfield defense I can put out there. So hey, just a heads up, as a veteran, I respect you. It's not about you. It's more about pro Mariznick. So that night he makes a running catch in the gap in left center field, and he comes up to me and he's like, you might want to reconsider that defensive replacement. You know, he's got such a fun vibe about him, and he's right. You know, the other night he makes a diving catch to end the game. He's so consistent. He brings a routine that's helped Springer and a presence in the middle of our order. And it took a special guy for me to interrupt the Springer, Altuve, Bregman, Correa, Gurriel top five hitters in our lineup, and he fits right in there in the four hole, and I love it.
That's a great story. AJ, when you say he brings a routine, I mean, doesn't everybody have a routine? What is it that his routine is, or how is it different, and how does that help guys?
But, I mean, I think you'd be a little surprised. I mean, most guys have a routine that doesn't make it a good one.
Okay.
So he brings a good one. You know, whether it's, you know, he likes to control the volume of his swings. If I throw our coaches out there and our we got a bullpen catcher named Javier Bracamonte. He's famous here in Houston, and he can throw for an hour BP. These guys will hit until they can't hold their arms up anymore. Brantley will bring a more dedicated, I'm going to take a certain number of swings, and I'm going to get myself ready for the game. Or his just the way he studies video, the way that he prepares his game plan with our coaches and our analytics team. I mean, there's a professionalism. All of our guys have it. There's a routine. All of our guys have it. But the guys that can do it year after year after year, you should dig into maybe the subtleties of their routine and grab something from it. And I've seen Springer do it. I see Bregman around him a little bit. I see Carlos around him a little bit. So there's a veteran presence that, you know, that you might not know on the field, but you know behind the scenes.
Glad I asked. AJ Hinch, that's really interesting. So before you go, last week you passed Art Howe for third place in the organization's all-time win list. I understand you're not focused on things like that, but you played for Art back in Oakland. You know what he's about. So what's it mean to have your name right up there with his?
Oh, man, my first manager. He's my first ever major league manager, and I'm sitting here doing interviews about passing him on the Astros win.
Right.
And that's really, really cool. That was back in the day we were doing tour buses. I think it was when I got to come on your bus a couple times. And I was playing for the A's. Art Howe's my manager. And now we're talking about, you know, me exceeding him with the wins. And, you know, obviously it's the players and the environment we have here and the winning that we've done. And it's in my coaches. We've had a number of different coaches come. And the manager, you know, we probably get a little too much credit and a little too much blame. That's cool. It's the nature of our job. But passing a name that was recognizable for me and also very special to me as the first guy that pulled me in the office and said, hey, man, you're a big leaguer. You can imagine how cool that was for me.
That's the best moment ever. Now, the team, AJ, is having Pino in the Park on Friday against the Rangers. You are no stranger to the wine scene. So, if you're going to go the Pino, what are you picking?
I'm going Sea Smoke, Pino. There's a couple different ones that Sea Smoke has. I like it's, you know, I'm a kind of big Russian River Pino. I like it. It's a little firmer, stronger, kind of like a cab.
Sure.
So I go with that anytime I get a chance to drink my Pinot.
When did you first get into wine? Who got you started?
Really, when I started playing, and I started having a veteran team around me. You know, when I broke in, we had a bunch of hoodlums on the team in Oakland. We were young and stupid, and we had a good time. But when I started graduating to more mature teams, when I played in Philly, and you know, you're around the Jim Thome and Kevin Millwoods and Billy Wagner, and I played with Roberto Hernandez, and I started slowly getting into it. And then when Dave Roberts and I got close when I was in San Diego post playing days, I started hearing a little bit more about he's got a label in Napa called Red Stitch, and he got me into it a little bit, and slowly but surely I've grown up, and now I dig all kinds of wines.
I love it. So that's a good one. That's coming up soon. He is manager of the Astros. He led them to their first World Series title back in 2017. A member of the Stanford Athletics Hall of Fame. We consider him a very good friend of the program, AJ Hinch. AJ, I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. Always good to have you on.
Thank you, Jim. Anytime.
You got it, AJ. Thank you. I am very, very proud of that relationship. AJ came on as a player. He's come on as a manager. He is a damn good manager. Great manager. In fact, some of our best relationships and some of the guys I admire most are managers right now in Major League Baseball. AJ Hinch, Dave Roberts, Torey Lovello, number of guys. Guys that used to come on the program as players and have gone on to be great managers. Alex Cora. Said that already, Hawk. Keep listening. Dave Roberts. Definitely. Dave Roberts, AJ Hinch, Torey Lovello, all on our short list. Alex Cora also. All came on as players, all are great managers. All right, we will return. One last segment. Open phones in that last segment. Speaking of baseball, there was a no-no last night. Man, that's how common no-hitters are now. There was a no-hitter last night. Not only did I not lead the show with it, it almost didn't make it into the show. But it will. It did. When a guy throws a second no-hitter, you got to acknowledge it. So that's coming up in a minute. Golf's next major. The world's best. I, the prestigious. Wanamaker Trophy. Tiger shoots for back-to-back majors and is 16th overall. The PGA Championship next weekend on CBS. Let's get you a bottom of the hour sports update. If you've been waiting, wait no more. Good show. Really good show today. Three excellent interviews. Great takes. Good phone calls. It's a good day. Time for the ATP, the Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all of your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service. My bad. Thanks, Alvy. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. I'll tell you why I heard that beep in a minute. First, the ATP. This is a good one. Rome, when Alvin drops the hammer on a caller, it used to be just a buzzer. Now it's all sorts of crazy sounds. What is packed into the hammer? Signed, Damien. Good question. All right, let's unpack this thing sound by sound. First, you have the buzzer. the original buzzer. Then several years later, and several years ago, I mentioned that, you know, back in the day when we all had hard lines, actual telephone lines in our homes, that if a telemarketer called during dinner, I would pick up the phone, and if they went into a pitch, I'd go with the manual buzzer. I would just yell on the phone as loud as I could and then hang up. And for whatever reason, you know, I was kind of a dope. I thought that was funny. That made me laugh every single time. And Janet would be like, man, how old are you? I'm like, 40. It's funny though, right? She's like, no. I'm like, oh, it's funny, all right. And then I'd be pissed if somebody didn't call. Then I would just start doing it to friends. You know, like one of Janet's friends would call. Hi. Hi, Jimmy. It's Martha. So anyway, that became the thing. So I went from the original buzzer to the manual buzzer, but that didn't last very long. Because then LaDainian Tomlinson dropped a rap while he was a member of the Chargers.
I got a little dance for y'all. It's real easy to do.
The LT Glide.
All you gotta do is glide with it.
So, we did a take on the LT Glide. And this is when the jungle is at its very best. When you clones work for me. Somebody called or somebody emailed and said, hey, Rome, you know what you should do? You should lift that line from the LT Glide and combine that with your manual buzzer. And that's how we ended up with this.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call.
It's not a very good call. The clone, that was clone originated. So, Damien, that's how that came to be. That's a good ATP. When the ATP works, it works really well. So you heard my computer, and the reason you heard my computer, typically I've got that on mute, but the reason it was not on mute, during the break I put the volume up because I'm looking at Twitter like I do during the show, and I see Jocko Wilnick. Love Jocko. I'll tell you about that in 1 second. Let me read one more email, which will get me to Jocko. This is from Matt in Vancouver, one of the Canadian bros. Rome, time to quote my guy, Gary V. I'm obsessed with losing. I bleeping love losing because I know you're thinking about my loss and I can't wait to stick in your bleeping face when I come back. Let's go. Matt in Vancouver. So Matt quotes his guy, Gary V. Gary V, you've heard on this show. Gary V, you've heard on the podcast. Gary V is a really dynamic guy. I had dinner one night with Gary V in Los Angeles and he lived up to all the hype. It's a big, big Gary V house. Now, my guy right now is Jocko. Jocko is the greatest source of fascination ever to me, at least at this point in time. I love this guy. And as you might know, if you've listened to the program, you've listened to my podcast, I kind of gravitate towards or I admire guys with military backgrounds, especially the Navy SEALs, because I think that a lot of these guys represent and have what a lot of us want. You know, that intense focus, the discipline, the grit, the mental toughness, the physical toughness. I mean, I've had a number of these guys on. David Goggins did one of the most legendary podcasts we ever had. Mark Divine, I went on his podcast and I've read his books. He's great. Jocko, though, is my favorite right now. Jocko was on the episode of Billions. Brian Koppelman is another one of my favorite guys. And Brian Koppelman and David Levine are the guys who came up with and write and run Billions on Showtime. And both those guys are enormous Jocko guys. And Jocko was on Koppelman's podcast, and I listened to that. And I can't lie, I've been trying to get Jocko. I've been trying to get Jocko, and it's lit! It's been trying to get Jocko.
It's lit!
I finally ran down Jocko. I had a direct message exchange with Jocko, but I can't seem to get him. I really want to have him on the podcast. He's unbelievable. He wrote one of the greatest books I've ever read. Discipline Equals Freedom. It is an incredible book. A field manual. So if you clones, and by the way, if you're going to come at Jocko, not that Jocko can't handle himself. Jocko is he's a beast. Like he's a behemoth. Jocko, I think, goes 5'11", 235, crazy jiu-jitsu guy, all protein. Jocko's got this absolutely amazing take on donuts being poison. And Jocko's whole thing is, are you kidding? The human will is not stronger than the will of a donut.
Donuts.
Jocko's big on fasting. Jocko routinely fasts like 24 hours at a time. I've read that Jocko says that he'll do a 72-hour fast. And when he does a 72-hour fast, he says that he does all the things that he normally does, which includes getting up at 4:30 every morning. I'm getting off track. I literally could do 3 hours on Jocko alone, just off the cuff. Clones, what I'm saying is you should tweet at Jocko respectfully. I don't want him to think that I got a bunch of morons listening when he'll never come around. Just say, Jocko, man, Rome's all about you. Come on the podcast. Jocko has, the thing about Jocko, he's got one of the best and most popular podcasts in the country. Jocko's busy now. But I'm going to keep looking, Jocko. You're my guy. I really want to talk to you. Read his books. I listen to his podcast. I'm all about this guy. Could not respect Jocko more. He's tough. University of San Diego guy, by the way, Jocko. So that's my point is, the reason you heard my computer beep, I turned it on because Jocko tweeted a GIF, and I wanted to hear it. Now you know. Let's see. Dear Jim, Jocko, he's at Jocko Wilnick. Jocko also writes books for kids. Warrior kids. Jim, I like the middle seat, along with the aisle and window seat, all at the same time. Signed, Real Canadian Women. Chris in Wisco, not a Packer fan. War smack-off season. It is smack-off season. I knew this already, but I'll read this one. At SA Sports Honk, Rome, when I eventually retire from the Patriots, I would love a chance to coach the LA Kiss. Tongue-kissingly yours, Bill Belichick.
Bill, the goat.
But that's not going to happen because the LA Kiss no longer exist. They folded back in 2016. Trivia question. I'm going to just pose the question. Who was the public address announcer for the LA Kiss? Call the show or hit me up at Jim Rome. Who was the PA announcer for the LA Kiss? 1-800-636-8686. I told that story. One of the first albums I bought in elementary school, Detroit Rock City. It was Kiss Alive 2. I thought that was the greatest song I'd ever heard in my life. I could not believe how awesome that was. I bought a cassette tape at a Save-On drugstore. I rocked that thing so hard. Speaking of Detroit, this is getting weird now. Let's go to Johnny in the D. Leave that up, Albie. That should be under his call. Johnny, what's up?
Jimmy, hey, last week Liz called and said someone was pretending to be her. You know, if I wanted to be a fat, wrinkly, postmenopausal female, I'd rather be Caleb in Green Bay. I noticed you left Cal in Vegas out of your smack-off preview. The last time Cal in Vegas was left behind, his parents dropped him off at the fire department after birth. Bro, Matt and Van threatening to come after the smack-off field must have everyone shaking. The last time I checked, you can't win the Indy 500 with a minivan. War Stucknut, late.
I don't know. Like, that shouldn't have been funny, but that was funny. Like, Johnny in Detroit was on the watch list.
Hey, John.
Then I took him off, and now I'm going to put him back on. That's not a golden ticket. That's a watch list. Remote controls. Are they taking over your living room? Then get Control Center by Cavo. The one universal remote that manages all of your content. Shop right now. Save $10 on the Control Center Starter Pack Bundle with a one-year service plan. With the promo code ROME at CAAVO.com. CAAVO.com. Cavo.com, but you have to use the promo code Rome. The answer to the question, the PA announcer for the LA Kiss, Joey Vendetta. See you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. We're out.